Catholic commentary. You're returning a service. 2122. Spiritual warfare. AOM clear, C, no. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Jesus 911.
It's the end of the week. Kind of some relaxing topics, but yet nonetheless spiritual warfare throughout the entire week. My name is Jesse Romero, my wife Anita Romero. You guys know us from the biblical names of
Tobias and Sarah.
That's
good
right.
Morning, all you listeners. It's great to be back with you at the end of the week, just to start off your weekend with a note of the Lord, and let's do it.
Yeah, we just want to encourage you in your faith. And we're broadcasting from an undisclosed location somewhere in the Southwest.
Yes.
And this is still the month of June.
Yes, this is the month of June, the month of what? The Sacred Heart of Jesus. So in 1693, St. Margaret Mary Alacoque, she had her first of the four visions of Jesus with his heart exposed, burning with love for his people. So we need to consecrate, for those of you who haven't done it, consecrate yourself and your family to the Sacred Heart of Jesus this month and place or hang that image of the beautiful Sacred Heart of Jesus in your home. We have that. We've had it since we've been married, and it's been in the center of our home. And as a matter of fact, Jess took it down because he needed to use it for a men's group. And then my son walked in and goes, "Hey, where's the Sacred Heart of Jesus picture? What happened to it?" So see, people know that you are a lover of Christ. When something's missing, they recognize that. And my son recognized that immediately. But so this indicates and reminds us that Jesus Christ is a King and Lord of your homes, your marriages, and your families. So for those of you that haven't done it, do the consecration. There's a promise of the 12, there's 12 promises.
I think 12 or 15.
12 promises. And we are at the sixth promise. And I can't tell you which one it is right now.
Yeah, but nonetheless, if you do this consecration, this home consecration, the promises are that God will bless your home, your families,
yes,
your marriage. It's and by the way, the very famous exorcist, Father John Essef, Monsignor Essef, who's 95 years old, this is how he does home deliverances or home exorcisms, whatever you want to, home prayers, minor exorcism. He'll take the Sacred Heart picture, he'll bless it, and he'll do the prayers, which take about 15 or 20 minutes, and that's how he drives out demons. He's been doing that for 20 years. He goes, this is the best way to drive out a demon.
Absolutely.
Is to install the picture of the Sacred Heart of Jesus in your home.
Yeah.
Here's a prayer to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Again, this is a typical prayer you could do every day. Name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Jesus, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I offer you my prayers, works, joys, and sufferings of this day, in union with the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass throughout the world. I offer them for the intentions of your most Sacred Heart, the salvation of souls, the reparation for sin, the reunion of all Christians. I offer them for the intentions of all our bishops and all the apostles of prayer, and in particular for those recommended by our Holy Father this month. And then there's a small little ejaculation prayer. It goes, Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, I place my trust in thee. Okay? Say that throughout the day.
Yeah.
Okay? Just throughout the day. Just fire that off into heaven. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, I place my trust in thee. Just say that throughout the day.
Yeah, we need to focus on the Sacred Heart of Jesus, especially this month, because this month,
the devil's called and claimed it. Satan's claimed this month.
The sin of pride and the sin of sodomy.
Yeah.
Let's put it, tell it like it is.
Yeah, this is the devil has influenced the secular society, starting with Barack Obama, to make this the month of Satan.
Yep.
Okay, it really is, but not for us.
Not for us.
It's the Sacred Heart of Jesus.
Yeah.
There's a great article written by a very holy priest in the Los Angeles Archdiocese. Definitely want to give him credit because he's he always writes with a very sharp and poignant. The article's called The 10 Most Common Lies from the Devil by Father Edward Broom. He's the last I knew, he was at the Hawaiian Gardens Parish. I don't know if he's still there.
Yeah, I believe he's still there because there's a couple of people that go to his parish and they attend a lot of his teachings. He has those who live around there.
Take advantage of him.
Or your nephew.
Yeah, my nephew.
My nephew goes there and he really enjoys.
He does the ongoing Ignatius spiritual exercises throughout the year. So if you have a chance, to take his Ignatius spiritual exercises, do so.
Yeah.
But
he's a wealth of information.
Yeah, he sure is. Very holy Orthodox priest.
Very holy. Mm-hmm.
The devil has many names, and the saints have their own descriptions.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, so the different names from the Bible and from saints present the various manners that the devil works in the world and in our lives. So what then are some of the biblical names and descriptions of the devil? You know, Jesus gives a double name for the devil. He quotes in scripture, John 8:44, he says, he's a liar and a murderer from the beginning. Liar and a murderer, there's two. He also calls the devil, Jesus calls the devil, the prince of this world. And that you can find that in John chapter 14, verse 30. So a somewhat strange name that Jesus also gives the devil is that of Beelzebub. And what that, what's the meaning of that? What's the meaning of that word? It, meaning it's the Lord of the flies. Ooh.
By the way, we're gonna be mentioning a lot of these names. So yes. Right off the top, we reject, renounce, and rebuke all these names.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, go to the foot of the cross that Jesus Christ may do with you as he wills. Mother Mary, crush these infernal spirits under your immaculate feet. So the other names in the Bible would be the following: devil, Satan, Lucifer, serpent, as well as the ancient serpent, who we reject, rebuke, and renounce in Jesus' name. The ancient serpent, referring to the temptation of Adam and Eve in the garden. And still more, the devil is called the accuser. In one of his letters, St. Peter compares the devil to an animal, a very ferocious and vicious animal. In 1 Peter 5:8, he calls the devil, he is like a roaring lion on the prowl, seeking whom he can devour.
Yeah, you find that in 1 Peter, huh? And so the history of the church, what are the saints, what are their descriptions of the devil? With his typical consciousness, St. Thomas Aquinas calls the devil the tempter. St. Augustine, following the line of St. Peter, using animal images, describes the devil as an angry dog on a chain or a leash. All of us have seen an angry dog on a chain or a leash. Hmm. What about St. Martin? What does he call the devil? He calls him a bloody brute. And finally, with St. Ignatius of Loyola, who has bequeathed us, he's given us the spiritual exercises. Who does he call? He calls the devil the enemy of our human nature. Yeah. So the devil both hates God, hates all of humanity, as well as each and every one of us individually. So he hates me. It's just, especially he hates us now, right now, that we're doing this show.
Yeah. And he hates us because we're made in the, he hates God, yeah, and we're all made in the image and likeness of God. That's why he hates us.
Yeah, that's what it says in scripture.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, in Genesis. So one vice that the devil does not have is that of laziness. Can you believe that?
That's interesting.
Isn't that interesting?
I just learned something that Father Broom said that.
Right.
I never thought about that.
Right. Absolutely. Quite the contrary. The devil works day and night tempting us. So that's why he's not lazy. but he imposes a sloth on us, right? His purpose with regard to us is to tempt us to give into and succumb to sin. That's what he wants. He wants us to be slaves of sin. Then he hopes to bind us to our slavery and addiction to the sin. Finally, his greatest desire is to lure us into living in mortal sin and dying in the state of mortal sin. Then we will be the sport of the devil in hell for all eternity. Isn't that interesting?
That's all right. Human beings are. We're just all meat sacks for for demons and in hell.
Well, you know, you've always said that, you know, the devil is always, doesn't go to sleep, doesn't eat, doesn't go to the bathroom, doesn't take vacation. Well, yeah, that
doesn't
makes sense.
Drink of water,
why, we never made that connection. He's not lazy.
Yeah.
All of us, you know, need to.
We need to rest. We need to go to sleep. We need food, water.
Right, we need to refresh ourselves.
Yeah, the devil's a perfect, he's a perfect killing machine.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, he's a killer of your soul. He's a spiritual serial killer.
Mm-hmm.
And but there's a note of great hope, obviously, in that God is much, 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 much stronger than the devil. God is infinite in power. The devil's finite in power.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
God is infinite in knowledge. The devil is finite in knowledge. God's presence is infinite. He's present everywhere. The devil's finite.
Mm-hmm.
However, God gives the devil permission to tempt us.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because that's the way God makes us holy.
Yep.
God uses the devil like our sparring partner to prepare us to be athletes for Christ and champions of the faith. But in order to fight against the temptation, we must rely on God's grace and Mary's intercession so as to win the battle and attain the salvation of our immortal souls. So we're in, I like the way Father Carapi used to say it. He used to have a talk called Immortal Combat. Mm-hmm. We're not in mortal combat. That's what people do, you know, again, in a war, in an earthly war. That's mortal combat. Mm-hmm. We're in an immortal combat against this principality that we don't see and that runs the world because we're fighting for our soul. And the following, we're going to go through about 10 different typical temptations of the devil, who indeed, in the words of St. Augustine, is our mortal enemy. And our victory over the devil depends essentially on the grace of God, but also the knowledge of his astute tactics.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to talk about in the next segment, the tactics of the devil against the children of God. That's against you and I. You're listening to Jesus 911, and we're talking about 10 ways that the devil attacks us. That's the name of the title, right?
Yeah, it's the 10 most common lies from the devil.
Because that's how he operates. He operates in the arena of lies.
Yep, right.
I hear the music.
Here comes our lady.
Here comes our protectress.
Thank you, Mother. We're all on you.
Here comes our 12-star general. Be right back. Stick around.
The angel grace are the bright little dawn. Our Lady of Guadalupe. Pray for us.
We're back, Jesus 911. A sacrament of matrimony in action on Fridays. My name is Jess Romero.
And Anita Romero.
We want to play the St. Michael the Archangel. We want to talk about some heavy stuff, heavy duty stuff. So we want to
be protected.
We want to pray a prayer of protection. In the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our defense against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. Santi Michael Archangele, defend us in prelio. Contra nequitia me insidious, diaboli esse presidium. Impera ili deus supertes se precamur tuque. Princeps maliciae celesti, satanama liosque, spiritus malignus, quiae perditionem animarum, pervagantur in mundo. Divina virtute, in infernum de trude. Amen. In nomine Patris, et Filii, Spiritus Sancti. Amen.
Yeah, for those of you that know those prayers, please join us. The more prayers we send out to the cosmos, the more we fight against all the demons that are out there trying to snap souls from the earth.
Let me just give you an image of prayer, and it'll, especially men, it'll fire them up to pray. This is an image that helps me. This image. Remember that movie 300, that fight scene where they were fighting they're called the Immortals. They were King Xerxes' army. There's like 10,000 of these immortals. And how did they try to kill the 300 Spartans? They shot arrows into the air, and they just basically darkened the sky with arrows. And the arrows, that's how they would kill their enemies. They'd just rain upon their enemy. I mean, thousands of arrows. That was a technique used in the ancient world. Mm-hmm. That's what prayer does, because that's what the Bible says, that prayer is an arrow that's shot in the air. Mm-hmm. So the more Catholics that are firing shots into the air, we're raining our offensive prayers. It's an offensive weapon upon the enemy. So think about that. Every time you pray, you're firing an arrow into the air, and it's targeted for one of the enemies of our soul. Think about that imagery, and it's, especially men, it'll motivate you to pray more. You'll say, man, I need to fire off prayers throughout the day, fire arrows throughout the day.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the 10 most...
The article, Father Edward Broom, the 10 most common lies from the devil. The first common lie is the state of desolation. So take this for granted. In the state of desolation, the devil will tempt us. This is universal for all people, times, and places. In a word, desolation is when we feel discouraged, sad, and depressed, and that nobody really cares for me or loves me.
Exorcists would call this diabolical obsession. These are mental attacks, and a lot of the mental attacks also include depression. Mm-hmm. Demons could bring upon depression. So the state of desolation that's talked about by Father Edward Broome, taken mm-hmm. for the spiritual exercise. Remember, yeah. Saint Ignatius of Loyola in the spiritual exercises was trying to help us discern, it's called discernment of spirits, mm-hmm. what comes from God, what comes from your human emotions, and what comes from the devil. Mm-hmm. And so the state of desolation can come because you have a bad diet, you don't work out, or it can come from Satan, or it can come from just a life of reckless sin. Mm-hmm. But it can be diabolical also, and the church would call that those mental attacks, diabolical mm-hmm. obsession.
Yeah, we know somebody that we just spoke to this past week. She was on all this medications, and she has had really depression. And
for years.
And now she's off because she's been saying the spiritual warfare prayers, the Exilium Christian Norm specifically.
Yeah, the day. Yeah, here's what her and her husband started doing years ago. And she's off psych medication. And the daily rosary mm-hmm. together as a couple, and the Auxilium Christianorum prayers written by Father Ripperger and his team of exorcists. They've been doing that for about 2 years now, and she's off antidepressant medication.
Yep, and she looks great, and she's got her disposition.
So it was probably diabolical.
Yeah, diabolical. She had the heaviness, and she had, you know, things that she had to get healed from emotionally. But thank you, Jesus, for that.
Thank you, Jesus.
So
number
two. Let's go on the common lie from the devil. The second one is kryptonite rule. What is that? Now, the devil, aware of my facial expressions or our facial expressions, seeing me sad, depressed, discouraged, applies the kryptonite rule. Remember that Superman was strong except when he was exposed to kryptonite. Then his strength left him. We must beg for the grace as well as have access to spiritual direction in order to discover our own kryptonite.
In other words, Father Edward Broome is saying there is something in your life, what people, exorcists would call an impediment, mm-hmm. an impediment to grace. Sanctifying grace through a life of the sacraments, this is what keeps you, in friendship with God, living the abundant life, as it says in John chapter 10, verse 10. But when you start introducing a mortal sin in your life that you don't confess, now there's an impediment to grace. That's the kryptonite that the devil will use to block sanctifying grace and to weaken you spiritually. So Father Edward Broome saying, find out what that kryptonite is that the devil's using against you to make you spiritually and weaken your interiority.
Yeah, and one of those ways to do it is praying the Dolo Rosary. Father Ripperger does say that those that pray the rosary, she will reveal your sins and your weaknesses. So that's something that you might attempt to do, because I pray that every day. And it's funny, I said, the little things are revealed to me on a daily basis that I have to improve upon.
Our Lady of Sorrows will mm-hmm. reveal imperfections and defects in your soul, in your personality, by praying the Dolorosary. That's one of the promises mm-hmm. attached.
Yeah.
Because she wants us to become holy. And so she's going to show you the areas that you have to tighten up and shore up to be strong in your faith.
Okay. Let's move on to the
number three
common lie from the devil. It's called procrastination. How many of us procrastinate? We all do. One of the typical temptations of the devil is to coax us into believing that we have a long life. I think a lot of the young millennials and Gen Xers or whatever they call them, I think they have that attitude, because I remember we had that a lot of the time ahead of us. We can easily put off for tomorrow what we should do today, put off our spiritual practice of piety.
What is piety? It's reverence for God or devout fulfillment of our religious mm-hmm. obligations as Catholics. And so a lot of people, you hear a lot of young people say, I'll become holy when I'm an old man, okay? Mm-hmm. When I'm an old lady. Right now, I'm going to live it up. I'm going to party hardy. I'm going to have fun. The fact is, you don't know if you're going to wake up tomorrow.
Yep.
There's no, tomorrow's not promised to anybody. Mm-hmm. Countless, You know that every second two people die.
Yeah.
Okay. The fact is, and a lot of young people die all the time, especially because they live reckless lives. Mm-hmm. And so to procrastinate, to say, you know what, I'm going to give my life to Jesus and follow him
when I get married. And
that's crazy talk.
That's for old people.
That's nonsense.
Mm-hmm. It is nonsense.
Because again, you have no idea. I mean, the devil laughs when he hears something like that because he's saying, yeah, I got this guy or this girl exactly where I want them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so procrastination is basically fool's gold.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. I mean, the devil does speak to us in this fashion. He'll say like, come on, you could go to confession later. There's no big hurry. The priest doesn't have time today to hear your rosary anyway. Or the rosary, put it off later until you fall asleep at midnight. Or if you're in the habit of making a holy hour, and this has happened to us, you can skip it today and do it tomorrow or next week or never. In a word, the devil wants us to neglect our prayer life or at least diminish it.
Yep.
And so this is why, as Catholics, there's all kinds of military language used for the Christian. Mm-hmm. We're soldiers of Christ. We have an obligation to evangelize, fight the good fight. You have to take your Catholic faith. It's a paramilitary organization. We have to take this very seriously. Mm-hmm. These aren't just things that we should do. We are under obligation to God and to Our Lady, our 12-star general.
Yeah, when you start getting those thoughts, I'll just, pray the rosary tomorrow. No, this is the time, you've heard that term on Jesus 9-1, smash mouth Catholicism. This is time. This
fight
is
through
time.
It. Smash
fight
through
it. Just do it. Do it, because that's a day gone. We'll never return, or you're going to be able to pray that rosary for that day.
Yeah, you said, I'm too tired to pray the rosary.
One less decade, one
smash
less
through
rosary.
It.
Smash through
smash
it.
Smash through it.
Smash through it.
Grind it out. Just, I know it doesn't feel good sometimes. Just smash through it.
Yeah.
Okay? Do it because it's the right thing to do, not because it feels good.
Right.
Point number four.
Point number four, common lie from the devil. It says, harbor resentments in your mind and heart. Okay. A chief tool of the devil is to surface in our minds and past hurts and so harbor resentments. In other words, Satan desires that we hold back forgiveness and disregard being merciful. When the devil wins this huge victory, then we go through life both angry and depressed. Worse yet, we make the people around us angry and depressed also. That's a double victory for the ancient serpent. So that's we need to, all of us get hurt by other people. I think as persons, we have to just sit back, reflect. Okay, let's move on. I got hurt. I have to forgive them and let's move on.
There's so many people that just put most of us to shame when you look at stories.
Yeah.
And I think about it, that's why I know purgatory is going to be my destination before I enter heaven, because I got so much purification that needs to happen in my soul. And I say this,
I think
there's
we
no
all
way,
do.
There's no way. Pope John Paul II was shot by a Muslim Turk.
Mm-hmm.
He went and visited him in the prison and said, I forgive you. The guy wasn't even asking us for forgiveness. Mm-hmm. He just went and just proactively says, you know what? You shot me and I'm here and I forgive you. The Muslim was, what? I'm not even asking your forgiveness. I'm not apologizing.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that interiority is so deep, I can't even wrap my minds around it. St. Thomas More, he's about to get his head cut off by King Henry VIII. He looks at King Henry VIII. I probably would have been saying bad words, Tourette syndrome. I don't know, because you know what he said to him? He goes, King Henry, I hope I see you in heaven, and I think I will. I'm like, what? This guy's going to cut my head off, and he's wishing for him? I'm going to see you in heaven, brother. I'll see you in heaven. I'm like, I can't wrap my mind around that.
What about St. Maria Goretti? St. Maria Goretti, forget.
She's getting raped.
Getting stabbed.
And she's saying, I forgive you. She's getting stabbed.
You,
I'm like,
Alessandro. And she's still there.
Yeah.
Wow.
This is why they're called saints and I'm not. Yeah. That's why they got an ST before their name. But this is the type of spirituality everybody has to reach
before
you enter heaven. And by the way, this is why there's purgatory.
Yep.
Because this is what has to be the state of your soul. Yep. Complete mercy for your enemies.
Yep.
And if we're not there yet, thanks be to God, there's purgatory. Here she comes, Gold Star General.
Thank you, Mother Mary, for loving you.
Yes. And give us the grace to be, to forgive like our Lord forgave us. We'll be back. Stick around. Pray for us.
Bright little dawn, Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us. So tenderly you hold us in your arms.
That is such soothing bumper music. I'll be honest with you, it's the most soothing bumper music on Catholic podcasting or Catholic radio. There's nothing more beautiful than just that vision of Our Lady of Guadalupe coming and enveloping her mantle, her mantle of protection around us.
Yeah, we're petitioning her to pray for us. Our Lady Guadalupe,
pray
for us.
She's the patroness of the Americas, patroness of the pro-life movement. We're talking about an article written by Father Ed Broom.
And they are the 10 most common lies from the devil. So we left off on lie number five.
And
lie number five, the world of images. That's the subtitle of this number five. It says, in our modern technologically advanced society and culture in which the image dominates, the devil, especially when we find ourselves in the state of desolation, can whisper in our ear to seek out bad images, scenes, videos against the virtue of purity or chastity. Unfortunately, viewing this material can easily form a habit and then a long-term addiction. Better in desolation to run to the beautiful images of the Immaculate Heart of Mary and the Sacred Heart of Jesus.
This is very important because
this talks about pornography.
Yeah, that's what he's talking about. And this is why, again, the old Catholic teaching, it goes back centuries. You'll have the great minds of the church saying, take custody of your eyes, avert your gaze. You know, it means turn away from things that you shouldn't be looking at.
And it takes effort.
It takes effort. And also take custody of your intellect. That's another Catholic teaching in the interior life, which means also guard your thoughts just from not only impure images, but impure thoughts that are profane or vulgar thoughts.
Right. Well, there's that saying, your thoughts become actions, your actions become habits, your habits become character, and your character becomes a destiny. So it's very important that you really focus on what you're really looking at, and what's gonna, is this gonna lead me to sin, or is this gonna lead me to virtue?
Now let's be honest, we're not blind. We don't walk around with all eyeballs. So you're gonna look at everything
around you.
The thing is,
to continue the gaze.
Looking at something with lust or objectifying or coveting, that's wrong.
Yeah, that's wrong.
You got eyeballs. You're going to go to the market. You're going to go to the gate. You're going to see handsome guys and pretty women everywhere. Got it. God made them that way. It's looking at them with lust.
Yeah.
I want you, and in my mind, this is what I imagine me and you are doing in some beach over in the Bahamas. That's where it's a sin. Are you going to look at pretty women and handsome guys? Of course you are. We live on planet Earth. There's 7.5 million people.
Yeah.
They're there.
Yeah.
It's looking at them with lust.
Yeah.
That's with the lust, problem.
And then that's why you have to control your eyesight. You have to stop. Okay, you looked at him once.
Yeah.
Stop.
Yeah, just move on.
Just move on. If you continue to turn your head and
you're going to fall into temptation,
and that's where people get in trouble.
You're allowing
the thoughts start going, then actions and
The level Wolf Fulton Sheen says you look at something, you delight at what you look at,
and then you move on.
Then you the delight. Here's how you move this. Then when you delight what you see, you consent to the delight, and that's when you fall into sin.
Yeah.
We live on planet Earth. You see something, you just move on. Period.
Right. Move on and don't.
And that's why the patron saint of parish priests, Saint John Vianney, says that the devil, demons attack us through our five senses: what we see, what we hear, He attacks us through our senses. So point number six.
Point number six, the sixth common lie from the devil is laziness and indolence. The spiritual theology and practice experience shows that when we are indolent and doing nothing of real value, it is then that the devil tempts us and offers us the opportunity to enter into his factory or field of work. And that would be what? Sin. On the other hand, legitimate hard work not only builds us up and serves to help others, but it also serves to avoid many temptations from the devil.
Yeah, there's an American slogan where people say idleness is the worship of the devil.
Yeah.
That's not found exactly in Scripture, but it does allude to Scripture.
Yeah, it does.
There's other passages in Scripture which
Proverbs 16, 27 to 29. That's where
it alludes to it.
It alludes to it, but
it doesn't say it word for word.
So, you know, people say, oh, it says that in Scripture, idleness is of devil's workshop.
Not word for word.
No.
Yeah, but it does allude to it.
It does.
You know, St. Paul said, for example, he who does not work should not eat. Okay. And so there's scriptures that talk about the sin of sloth, not only spiritual sloth, but physical sloth. And I think that we have that right now in our society. There's so many people because of our Marxist government right now that's flooding the country with, all this money that they keep cranking from the machines.
Yeah.
And they're paying people
to stay home.
$44,000 a year. Unemployment to stay home.
My couch.
So you see, all these businesses are closed. Because they can't find people to work.
Yep.
And so this is...
That's strategic. That's strategic.
This is diabolical. This is satanic.
It is satanic.
The devil is the one that... Mm-hmm. He's the one that traffics in laziness.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
It's called the sin of sloth.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants us to be physically slothful. And because physical sloth also affects spiritual sloth.
Right.
If you don't take custody of your intellect, you're not going to take custody of your body.
Yeah.
And so they work hand in hand because... We're a body-soul composite.
Right.
Point number seven. This is an important one here.
The seventh common lie from the devil. It says, bad company corrupts morals. St. Paul expresses a truism that all of us consider bad company corrupts morals. This being the case, all of us should choose with great discernment and wisdom who we would like to be our companions, especially our close friends. A bad companion can result in our ruin. However, a good friend is a treasure and can result in our growth in sanctification. You know, I was just talking to somebody yesterday, and she was telling me that their neighbor, they're Catholic by name only, and they got some marriage issues, and they do not go to church. Very nice, she said, but they like to drink and smoke pot. She goes, I want friends, but not those type of friends. So we don't hang out with them. I guess we're boring to them. You know, she told me, and that's true. And you want to look for like-minded people like we do. We hang out with people that, you know, love Christ, love the Catholic faith, and are on the same page politically. Because you have nothing in common with those people that are not like-minded like you are, especially God-centered. That's the most important.
Yeah, that's why the Bible says iron sharpens iron, and one person sharpens another. You want to be with people that are going to sharpen you up in your faith, push you towards a life of holiness, and also have the same biblical worldview that you have. The problem in our society you have right now, those that have a secular, humanist, godless, Marxist worldview versus a biblical worldview. So, It's important to pick the right type of friends because, again, St. John Bosco said, tell me who your friends are and I'll tell you who you are. Your friends help you form your character or deform your character or build up your character. That's why you surround yourself with strong believers in the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yep. Okay, so let's go on.
Point number eight.
Yeah, point number eight, common lie from the devil is wandering on. That's the subtitle, number eight. One of the greatest challenges is that of controlling our eyes. We were just talking about that. Eve in the Garden of Eden allowed her eyes to wander and to fix her gaze upon the forbidden fruit. This culminated, of course, in the commission of the original sin, which was transmitted to all humanity. The devil constantly tempts us to allow our eyes to wander. Remember the sins of King David, both adultery and murder? And it all started by the laziness of David's wandering eyes. Remember, he was supposed to go to battle.
David and Bathsheba.
Yeah, he was supposed to go to battle. He stayed behind. He led all his soldiers.
Sloth.
So what did he do? He was wandering around and he looked at over the parapet and there was Bathsheba.
She probably knew what she was doing.
Absolutely.
All the houses in Israel have palm branches as roofs, especially back then. Mm-hmm. And I'm just guessing that she put the palm branches off of her bathroom so the king, who's on a high parapet in his castle, could look down upon her. Yeah. I'm thinking there was a little bit of collusion there.
Yeah.
But the point's well taken about wandering eyes. Yeah. And I'll tell you another story in the Bible that talks about wandering eyes. Samson and Delilah. Samson was a man of God, consecrated to God with a Nazirite vow, set apart by God to be a judge of Israel. He had wandering eyes. This guy was sleep around with every Gentile woman that came in front of him. And at the end of his life, God restored him. He repented. But notice the way he went through his purification before he died. What happened? Because of his wandering eyes, the Philistines burned his eyes out with poker sticks. With hot poker sticks, they burned him out. Did God allow that to happen? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That was part of the purification because it was those eyes that got Samson in trouble all of his life. God told him, you're a Nazirite. You are not supposed to cavort with Gentile pagan women. They're going to lead you to false gods. He didn't listen. So, I mean, David, classic example. He paid. Four of his sons got killed. He buried four of his sons. Why? Because of his wandering eyes with Bathsheba, Samson. Mm-hmm. Again, this is a very appropriate teaching by Father Edward Broom.
As a matter of fact, if you want to listen to the talk that Jesse gave at the conference, the men's conference a couple of weeks ago, he spoke on David and Bathsheba.
Samson and Delilah.
Yeah, so they were very awesome talks. So if you want to just go to VMPR.
VMPR.org. Yeah, they're playing them there.
Okay, let's go on to the next one.
Number nine,
Common Life for the Devil is subtitled Disobedience in His Various Forms. Very often the devil tempts us in many forms to disobey. Children being disobedient to their parents, religious to their superiors, workers to our...
Here she comes.
We've got to stop here.
The Queen
our
Mother.
Is here.
The Empress, the Patroness of the Americas.
A prayer.
What up, Bernobis? Envelop us in your mantle of protection. Back, Jesus 911. So why do we call the show Jesus 911? I'll tell you why, because he's our only help. As it says in Psalm 69, verse 2, Lord, come to our assistance. Lord, make haste to help us. And so this is why we call it Jesus 911. Everybody on planet Earth, our only help ultimately is the Lord Jesus Christ and his promises, his grace, his love, his protection. Planet Earth is just a P.O. box. We're all passing by. We're not going to be here that long. Even Earth is not going to be here forever. I don't know why these people are all ginned up about global warming and go green, recycle. You know what?
Yep. I'd rather go have global warming here on Earth
than global warming on Judgment Day.
Absolutely.
The fact is that this world is going to be burned up entirely and dissolve by fire. And so I don't understand why, windmills, recycling. Why are people worshiping the earth so much? It's a lack of faith. Yeah, that's what it is.
Lack of faith. So no faith. Yeah. There's no God in their lives.
So Earth becomes their God. Mother Earth.
They don't believe in the supernatural.
Yeah, like Pachamama, the Earth goddess. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're talking about.
Pray for them.
Yes, Lord, pray for them. Convert them, Lord. What are we talking about?
Father Ed Broom, he wrote an article on the 10 most common lies from the devil. And we are on
number nine.
The subtitle, Disobedience in His Various Forms. It says, very often the devil will tempt us in many forms to disobey. Children being disobedient to their parents, religious to their superiors, workers toward their bosses, Catholics to the magisterium. That's the teaching office of the church. And behind much of this disobedience is disguised presence of the devil. By the way, remember that the sin of Lucifer and the sin of Adam and Eve were essentially sins of disobedience to God. In a word, sin is disobedience.
Yeah, sin is disobedience to the divine law or the eternal law of God, which can't be changed. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and God's law is divine. It can't be changed. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. For example, thou shalt not kill, fifth commandment. That was the same yesterday when God wrote it. It's been the same throughout salvation history, and it'll be the same in the future. Yep. You can't kill an innocent human person.
No,
that's those things are immutable. Now, is there times when you have a duty to disobey? Absolutely. If a superior, political, religious, your supervisor, even your mom and dad, if your mom and dad give you an order, and just take it on a micro level, which is sinful, like your dad says, hey, son, you're 18. And I know guys that do this, by the way, okay? They told me, hey, son, you're 18 years old. You're a virgin? Ha, ha, ha. I'm going to go take you to get a prostitute, all right? Come on, son, I'm going to show you how you do it. I know guys that do that, okay? They brag about it. The son, if the son is a young man of faith, he would be lawfully within his right to say, dad, what you're asking me to do is sinful. No, dad, I'm not going to go with you so you can buy me a prostitute so I can lose my virginity. Yes, I know you're my father. Yes, I know you have authority over me. But what you're asking me is sinful. It's sinful. It's unlawful. And so you're asking me to do something that's unjust, father, so I'm going to refuse you. That's a micro level, and we can apply that to priest, bishop, all the way to the top of the food chain. Politician, chief of police, if you're the sheriff, if your supervisor, a medical doctor at a hospital, if they're asking you to do something that is sinful and immoral, you have the right, not only the right, the duty to refuse to do that as a Catholic Christian. So again, we don't believe in blind obedience. It isn't like, you know, obey and shut up. Pray, pay, and obey and shut up. You know, imagine if you're a young seminarian coming in from Columbia back in the 80s and 90s when this was very prevalent. They were funneling in young seminarians from Latin America over to Newark, New Jersey, and other places, a place called Casa de Jesus back in the Chicago Diocese.
Yeah,
okay?
Yep.
And it was a homosexual pipeline for many of the bishops and the priests out there in the East Coast, where they were bringing young men that had no money, no protection. They couldn't speak the language. They wanted to be Catholic priests, but they were being exported in basically and parlayed out like meat for the homosexual cabal in the East Coast of prelates. Now, a young man from Honduras, if the person, the bishop says, hey, pull down your pants and go into the room and wait for me. No, bishop, I know you're a bishop and you have authority over me, but this is unlawful what you're asking me to do. So once again, there is such a thing as blind obedience. We cannot follow somebody, no matter if he's the leader, that's going to lead us into sin.
And I think once, as an individual who's a lover of Christ, God's going to give you the wisdom and the gift, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, prudence, to know what's right and what's wrong, and to be able to discern and give you the words to say, no, this is
and
wrong.
Fortitude.
Yeah.
Absolutely. No.
No, this is wrong. I will not comply with your request because of X, Y, and Z.
You're asking me to sin. I'm not going to sin.
Right.
I'm not going to offend God because you're my supervisor.
Yeah. I don't care if you're my parents. You're wrong, mom and dad. And, but it's, you know, that's why it's important. It's important to hopefully a lot of parents, many parents that do lead their child to sin, well, they're not deep in their faith. So it's going to be even difficult for even that child to even, you know, fight this and recognize this too. That's the backdrop of this.
Yeah, that's why it's important. And we'll talk about this next week because we're not going to be able to get into it this week.
Yeah.
This is why spiritual reading is so important. The ongoing formation.
Yeah.
Some people use the excuse, it's kind of stupid, I went to Catholic school, I can't be taught nothing. Let me tell you something. If you went to Catholic school, most of you are malformed.
Right.
Okay, from K to 12, you're malformed. Okay. The only way you really learn your faith is on your own right now in the last 60 years. Okay, if you've been to Catholic school in the last 60 years, you got a New Age Marxist education, period. So quit bragging about you went to Catholic school. Pick up a Baltimore catechism and start reading it. And every day, start making sure that you're cutting your teeth on the authentic teachings of the Catholic Church. You got to be self-motivated right now because you don't want to be a low-information Catholic like many of our politicians in Washington. Yeah. These are highly educated people, but they don't know squat about their Catholic faith because they don't do any spiritual reading.
Yeah, their shield is I'm a Catholic, so they use that as just a
to deflect any criticism.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I had that attitude. I went to public school, and I had that attitude where I made my confirmation. I'm done. But that's not so. It's not so. I remember this nun told me, goes, okay, I know you've made your confirmation, all of you, because after, you know, we still continue classes. He goes, but it's not over. It's just begun. Learning your Catholic faith is an evolution. It's going to be revolving. You have to continue. You have to.
It's a lifetime.
It's a lifetime. It's a lifestyle, she said. I remember she said that. It's a lifestyle. And I always had that at the bottom of my heart. I knew, but not totally. I didn't understand it because I didn't really have that example of reading, you know, good holy books and the saints. And so just in my adult years, as an adult woman now, because I did decide to make my own commitment to Christ, now it's time to just educate myself. And
oh, you've been doing it for years now, for years.
Yeah, right.
And Ben, I'll tell you, I forget which saint it was. I think that was Saint Catherine of Aragon at Agon. Mm-hmm. She said that she had a vision of hell, one of the saints that had a vision of actual hell. And she writes that a lot of people end up in hell because of reading bad books.
Yeah.
Saint Catherine of Aragon, she says, many people, and God gave her a vision of hell, and God was saying, that person's here because they read bad books, that person's here. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
You're thinking, how harmful is that to read trashy books? Are you kidding? People are in hell, according to the saints, approved apparitions for reading bad books. Mm-hmm. This is why the counter to that is to embark in a lifetime of reading good spiritual books. Mm-hmm. Not to give a cheap plug, but on my website, I've written like 8 books, all spiritual books. All of them will are going to lead you to a life of virtue and sanctifying grace and stuff. These are
they're
going to build you up.
They're building, and they're timeless.
Yeah.
And that's what spirituality does. I mean, we can read, you know, Saint Ignatius of Loyola. That's timeless.
Yeah.
They still apply today. Whereas these other books and
they have an expiration date.
Secular, they have. It's just putting junk in, junk out. That's essentially what you do.
Okay, we're towards the end of the show. So what's point number 10 from Father Ed Broom?
Yeah, from Father Ed Broom. Let's see. It says to ignore, to show indifference, coldness, and rejection of the Blessed Virgin Mary.
Mm.
How many of us know people that have that attitude to our Blessed Mother?
Yeah, it says, Protestants.
Yep. It is very interesting fact. Once a Catholic leaves his true faith, becomes a Protestant or Jehovah's Witness, or enters into another religious sect, Our Lady is very often rejected. One of the key tactics of the devil is these words. Catholics adore Mary as well as images of Mary. They practice idolatry. With this brainwashing, they turn against Mary. Such individuals will ignore Mary, be cold or indifferent to Mary, reject Mary, or even have a real antagonism and outright hostility towards Mary.
By the way, something interesting. Exorcists teach that 100% of the cases of people that are diabolically possessed, there's always a Marian defect.
Yeah.
100% of possession cases, you'll ask the possessed person, the energumen, and they'll say, Mary had other kids. Mary wasn't a perpetual virgin. Mary's
heretics.
Not the mother of God.
Heresy.
Every possessed person embraces a Marian, rejects the Marian dogmas, and embraces heresy. Very interesting that Father Broom, this is exactly what he's talking about here.
Right.
And this is what's reported in the field by exorcists.
Right.
So
behind these attitudes is a devil. That's the devil. He's
behind all these 10 points that we just talked about.
Satan has a mortal fear of Mary because he knows her power of intercession, her power for good and for the salvation of souls. St. Louis de Montfort asserts with precision, he who does not have Mary as mother does not have God as father.
Wow.
So precise. Wow. In conclusion, friends in Jesus and Mary, our life is truly combat, a mortal fight until the end. Our enemies are many, but especially three, the devil, the flesh, and the world.
We'll continue that next week. We're done. Wow. Jesus 911. Next week, we'll talk about why spiritual reading is so important against the diabolical.
How I enjoyed this show on those 10 points. Thank you, Father Ed Broom.
The end of the week, TGIF. Thank God I'm forgiven.
Yep.
Well, have a great week and God bless you. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, I place my trust in thee.
Our Lady Guadalupe.
Pray for us. Name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.